for tuning in. Carm Capriotto here. We're going to talk about fake customer reviews right here. Now, we've covered reviews in the past, but never have we focused on fake reviews, why they happen, what to do about them, and what should a response look like. I invited Lauren Anderson, Leanne Best, and Mike Dela Cruz to provide their perspective. And as per usual, this panel deliver the goods and beyond, which is why you love listening to the Town Hall Academy. We always write great show notes and provide you the key talking points, which you can use for any meeting agenda. Now, whoever in your company manages reviews, this is a must listen. Find the show notes at remarkableresults.biz/A181. Hey, look, now more than ever, you're focused on bringing cars through your bays safely and efficiently. It's a new and important responsibility. Now, Shopware's shop management system offers a completely contactless workflow. Your customers can review, approve, and even pay for the repairs right from their smartphone or personal device. Request a demo from Shopware and see them in action at getshopware.com. Hey, I am so proud to introduce you to a new partner here on the Academy, Shop Marketing Pros. Now, have you realized that your marketing looks exactly the same as the shop down the road? Well, you know your shop is different and deserves marketing that is as unique as your shop is. Let me recommend Shop Marketing Pros to show your community how different you are. Go to the web, shopmarketingpros.com. Hey, check this out.
I wish I could just talk to them and say, why did you do this?
Right.
Because you're clearly not a customer.
And you wrote 50 other reviews in the last 24 hours across state lines. And yeah.
Exactly.
More stuff like that in a minute. Now, I'm so glad you're tuning in for the best aftermarket talk radio that I know is going to give you the insights that will help you grow personally and to help your business excel. Now, I bet you know of an outstanding shop owner, technician, or service advisor. Now, how would you like to nominate them for a national honor from Apex? Apex has announced the annual Service Professional Awards that will be presented at Apex this year, 2020. Nominate a friend or even yourself. Get all the details at aapexshow.com/serviceawards. I'll put a link in the show notes. Now, the deadline is July 31st, 2020. Write that down. It's getting tight. You can get a PDF version of the application on the website to see the qualifications needed to nominate. I'm sure every listener to the podcast would qualify, no doubt, for top honors. So please make the first move and nominate an outstanding professional. Hey, are you wearing a mask in public? I keep wearing mine when I go out, both as a preventative and to protect me. Let's together help control the virus. Hey, if you're not tuned in, while you're mobile, go to remarkableresults.biz/subscribe. Get a free podcast listening app there and find many great features on my website, like the books page, the keywords page, the live page, and even the Aftermarket Weekly live page. Go to remarkableresults.biz. Tons of stuff there. Okay, let's get ready for a needed discussion on fake reviews here on the Town Hall Academy. With me is Lauren Anderson from 8-location Victory Auto Service, Minneapolis, Minnesota, from Mighty Auto Pro in Medina, Ohio, and co-founder of Brakes for Breasts, Leanne Best is here, and Mike Dela Cruz, National Sales Manager, Broadly.com. Enjoy. Fake reviews, why they happen, what to do about them, what should a response look like? First question, why do they happen?
Before I hopped on, I went through a list of our reviews, our fake reviews, and I was just looking at them and like, gosh, how did that even happen? I couldn't pinpoint it. Some of them were from disgruntled ex-employees because they got let go for legitimate reasons and they didn't like that. Other times they're nowhere to be found in our system. We didn't have the opportunity to look them in the eye, so to say, and give them an honest fix to their problem. They're nowhere to be found in the system, and yeah, I guess I don't know why they happen. If you have an answer to that, please let me know.
So it's kind of nice to be able to respond to them in a certain way, though, right?
Absolutely.
By saying, like, we've looked it up and we can't seem to find a record of you doing business with us.
Exactly.
And how does that work, Leanne? Has that ever happened to you?
Of course. You know, and I'm right on board, Lauren. You hit it spot on. The disgruntled ex-employee. Although there is, I think, one more reason that we see them, because I think there are those overachievers, if I am correct in this, Mike, and you might have the insight into this, that people actually get rewarded for doing reviews and for becoming. So there's incentives, not monetary incentives, but there are incentives with Google to write as many reviews as you possibly can. So that may be another one of those reasons. But yes, we definitely see it. I'm happy to say it's not frequent.
Mm-hmm. Over here as well. Definitely infrequent. Thank goodness.
Right. Oh, we could spend all day chasing our tail on that one.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So when you've had one, ladies, you go off like a rocket ship and then you calm down?
It upsets me, of course, because it's not an honest depiction of our business. I don't take it personal. I treat them as any other negative review, I guess. I look at it as an opportunity to show transparency with our customers. Because that's really the people, or potential customers, I should say, that are reading these responses. We have tons of 5-star reviews. That's not just to brag about victory, but to state that this piddly 1-star, 2-star fake review isn't going to tank us. And right. It's an opportunity, as fake as it may be, to illuminate that we are transparent with all customers, fake customers and real customers alike.
That's a great point, Lauren. Yeah, you definitely, you have to take the emotion out of the response. So when you say not to take it personal, even if you have to wait a day to respond, for sure.
The 24-hour rule was something that I learned a long time ago when email was just coming up, and it was just so much fun to, keep that conversation going. And then a bad one came in, and then I just got on a soapbox within 30 seconds, and I laid out someone in lavender. From my perspective, not thinking through why was this said and everything. So I love to wait 24 hours. And I don't know about you, if I'm preaching to the choir or not, but there's one other thing that I learned in my life, and I don't know what this has to do with reviews, but I came up with this interesting phrase. I lost a customer once. I put the phone down, and I said something about another customer, a real pain in the ass customer, and we all have them, you see. And so I decided to say something while the phone was out, and then when I picked up the phone to get back to this number one customer of mine, he wasn't there. Well, I come to find out, he says, if you say that about him, because he heard me, what would you say about me? And I know this is we're going off on a tangent here, but I want to give you all exactly what I learned from this. And I coined a phrase, my own phraseology, and it was called, don't think out loud. Okay, put that down in your books, because that's a big one. That's really powerful. Don't think out loud. And oh, by the way, this is just the most ironic thing that I'm talking about this. I'm having coffee with that exact customer who is getting ready to sell his business at 2:00 today. Okay, let's go into the fact that we did get a fake review. Should it be short? Should it be sweet? Should it be transparent? Should it be honest? Let's talk about what to do.
You know, you always have to keep responses professional, for sure. And just think about to your story, your personal story. I mean, a lot of these shop owners have been in business for 20, 25, 30 plus years. So they take pride in what they do. They sort of cringe whenever somebody says something bad about their business, particularly if they have no merit, right? Like if there's no truth to it, right? So your belief in waiting a day or that 24-hour rule, 100%.
But that can't happen with real reviews, am I right? I mean, because aren't people sensitive to the fact that, who was it that told me that there are expert review readers out there? You know, people just love to read reviews. And so I'm not saying, Mike, that maybe you should wait 24 hours on a fake review. Maybe not. What's your opinion, ladies, Mike?
Always keep it professional, right? I mean, I think the goal is to take the emotion out of response, because people are reading those reviews. So let's say it is a fake review and you get pissed off and you immediately respond to that review. Other people are looking at that, right? It's, say Google's the modern day Yellow Pages. Most people will go to Google to look at reputation. They read through reviews, and if the owner responds to a review with the same level of, low class or whatever that the customer or whatever competitor or whatever reviewed the reading, it's not a good look, right?
Yeah, I love that, Mike. The response should never be about defending yourself and explaining to this reviewer that they're in the wrong, they are just the cousin of a bad customer or something like that. If you can somewhat spot the name, even though they're not an honest customer. It should never be about defending ourselves. I think the short and sweet, the empathetic response is ideal. And even an apology, I know that it's kind of controversial, but an apology tends to diffuse a situation, real or fake alike. And you could just be apologizing that it wasn't an honest experience. You know, I'm so sorry that you weren't able to experience our business firsthand. And starting off with that response with an apology, I think is a great way to go. And I think that the timeline you're talking about, 24 hours or whatever the case may be, is not nearly as important as getting into the right headspace before you go and respond to these. Because if you're not in the right headspace 24 hours, a couple days down the road, it's not going to matter.
So I typically will replace an apology with more of a thank you, right? So like, thanks for taking the time to write a review. You know, if you didn't do anything wrong, why are you apologizing, right? So, but you always want to have a, you know, professionalism when you do respond. So replacing kind of the apology with, you know, thanks for taking the time to, you know, share your thoughts on your experience, or, you know, however you're going to phrase it, I think is a little bit better than kind of publicly admitting guilt when there's no guilt, right? Well,
you know. That's a great point. Right. Empathy. You're showing empathy.
Absolutely. And I do think it's important, kind of going backwards a little bit, you know, like I look at Bill as the shop owner here, who is super passionate about this baby, Mighty Auto Pro of his. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have to understand that in your shop, you may not be the right choice to make those responses. That's what my job is. And the best example I can give you of that is Bill doesn't even have the password to log in to respond. So Leanna,
that's probably a good idea.
Yes, because you hit him on that day, the shop's, you know, crazy busy, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe a few things aren't going right and he sees a bad review. It's best he's locked out.
Who puts up fake reviews? Former employee that wasn't happy, maybe?
I would say it's two types of, and I'm like you, I don't know people, or I don't know if that's the right word either, but just customers that are attempting to discredit, or like, you know, fake reviews could be like a competitor's son or daughter,
yes,
you know, wanting to discredit your reputation online. They could also be a customer who just completely misstated the facts. One of the bullet points I always outline when responding to reviews is present the facts. And that could mean something like, you know, our policy states that we don't work on cars without your approval. But that fake review said, you know, hey, they worked on it and gave me an $800 bill when I didn't authorize this. So when you always want to present the facts, but I believe it's those two types of customers or non-customers.
Mike gave a great assessment of that. And I would highlight the competition, because I believe that that's a fair amount of them.
Hey, today's pandemic is causing so much stress and uncertainty for everyone right now, especially shop owners. Now, how do I make sure that my staff and my customers stay protected while still moving cars through the bays? Contactless service is our new normal, and having a shop management system that not only supports this, but actually helps your business thrive through it all is key. Shopware's digital workflow with remote pay will provide that solution for you. Amy Matnett from Auto Craftsman recently commented on social media, and I quote, "I can't even express how grateful I am that I jumped on board with Shopware on January 1st. Would have never guessed that I would be the only one writing service at my shop, as I haven't worked in the shop for the last 15 years. But she goes on and says, I'm running my shop nonstop every day with Shopware to help me not only get the job done easier and faster, but am totally wowing my customers." End quote. Hey, if you want to wow your customers too, request a demo at getshopware.com. Hey, Carm here. Are your competitors ranking higher than you in search? Is your marketing company using plain vanilla recycled content? And does your marketing look like every other shop's and you're not even sure it's working? Powerful, effective marketing is not cookie cutter. It should showcase all of the things that are unique about your business. Don't you think you deserve better results? It's time to make a change. Our good friends at Shop Marketing Pros are past shop owners and industry veterans. They get it. Their process is pretty simple. Listen, create, and do. They spend time getting to know you and create a unique marketing message, and then do the heavy lifting for you so you can do what you do best. Run a shop and fix cars. do yourself a favor. Give your shop the top-notch marketing it deserves. Schedule a call today on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. That's shopmarketingpros.com. Don't wait. Do it now. Discredit your reputation from a competitor. Why would they want to invest the time, the effort, when they should be building up their own place? I mean, do you think, Mike, and you're probably closer to this than anybody because of what Broadly does, and that's why you're here, by the way, because you've got that background. If a competitor wants to put down someone else, for number one, that's what's wrong with our industry. I hate that. I hate that we have to put each other down and talk bad about each other. Do you ever discover that a bad review really came from a competitor? Anybody?
Desperation. I mean, they see, they're down the street from you and they see your bays filled. They see your happy customers. They want that. So it's sort of an act of desperation, right? Their car count's dropping. So, you know, they pull it out of their cheap bag, just these tricks, right? And then they figure out ways to smear you, whether it's not maybe necessarily the direct competitor, but they're talking to a friend or somebody that's, you know, asking to write a one-star review on your shop. You know, I've definitely seen it before. I don't know if Lauren or Leanne, it's happened at your shops, but without a doubt, I have absolutely seen that.
To be honest, I'm not sure. I don't know who's down the road. So I guess maybe those are those ones that we can't pinpoint, those people, those names, since they're not listed in our system. Maybe they are.
So a friend of a friend of a friend reaches out and says, hey, do this for me.
Or I think, you know, it's no coincidence that I was, as Lauren said, I was going through my Google reviews today just to take a refreshing peek. And I noticed when you get the one-star reviews, like, one of my one-star reviews came from a gentleman named Big Dummy. The next one came from Ramones One. So they're never names, right, like you would typically see if it was your customers. The one thing that always gets me when I see these is I'm curious, and I'm curious if I can see. So I'll always click on them and see where they've been, right, and what businesses they've reviewed. And it's just kind of interesting. As Lauren said, it's very difficult to discern if it is indeed your competition. But right, when you follow the trail, you can see, you know, when this guy's been, you know, up and down the state line and he's been to barbecue joints and this and that, I go, okay, it's probably not a competitor. I wish I could just talk to them and say, why did you do this?
Right.
Because you're clearly not a customer.
And you wrote 50 other reviews in the last 24 hours across,
exactly,
state lines, and yeah.
Exactly.
And like to Lauren's point earlier, that's the type of response where you'd say, sir or ma'am, I don't see you in my database. You know, my name's Joe. Here's my number. Please call me so we can make the situation right. But you always want to, you know, again, present the facts and say, I don't see you in my database.
Right. Exactly. And here's one for you, Carm. So the gentleman, Big Dummy, that left me the review, his review was a one-star review. And he said, bad service, go anywhere but here, high prices and no respect. So my response, short and sweet, was, first, let me say I am certain you are not a Big Dummy. If you legitimately visited our business and had this experience, please let us know your repair order number and your name, and we will definitely do whatever we can to make it right.
You know, I do a search, you know, auto repair, Medina, Ohio. Of course, I'm sure Mighty Auto Pro comes up first, right?
Yes, sir.
And I'm looking, and I see some reviews, and I go and I see this one really bad from Big Dummy, but I see fives and fives and fives and fives and fours and fives and another four. What happens to the consumer's mindset when they see that?
I personally believe the consumer, like just like myself, I mean, I'm a Google review junkie. So before I order something on Amazon or whatever, I might look at their reviews, but Google reviews are first and foremost. So I'm looking for what the majority of the people are saying. You know, we have, as of today, 257 reviews, and they're current. One thing I will say that we haven't touched on is the importance. I mean, Google is our number one source of new clients, number one. So those Google reviews are absolutely critical to me.
The platform that the review is left on, I think, is very important in this conversation, because if they're leaving you, well, they're leaving you a fake review on Yelp. Let's just say that we have a lot of reviews, real reviews that are being hidden on the Yelp platform. And so it's like you put all your
right,
mental capacity into addressing this one fake review on a platform that's probably not as customer-based as Yelp. probably not.
So are you telling me that you have to pay in order to have all the good reviews exposed?
That's a controversial topic, but in my opinion, yes. You have to pay a very big
penalty. Well, yeah, they've been taken to court many times, but they've won. So yeah, it's that's a true statement for Yelp. So Yelp doesn't allow you to They don't allow you to solicit for reviews. So you kind of have to work that a little bit if you're looking at these platforms. They've been sued many times, but every time they win, because if you're paying them, they have the right to display your positive reviews. That's why anytime Yelp comes up with a prospective customer client or a client, it's always a sensitive subject. There's two types of people. There's people that love Yelp and there's people that hate it. But the reality is people actually go there. People expect to see a bad review. They just don't expect to see a pattern of bad reviews, right? So to your question a minute ago, Carm, if I'm searching for a shop and if I see 500 five-star reviews, naturally you're going to want to scratch your head and ask, like, are they real, right? It doesn't mean that they're not going to call, but they just do a little bit more digging for legitimacy, right? And you can clearly tell if they're, writing a review that says, go to Joe's Garage and, they offer a 3-year, 36,000 mile warranty. Is a customer really going to say that? Right. So that's one thing. But if they saw 500, reviews with a 4.8 rating, but the owner took the time to respond to those bad reviews, that speaks more volume than, 500 five-star reviews. It tells me that this owner cares genuinely about their customer experience and their reputation.
Mike, you sent me this great list, and hopefully you have it in front of you. If responding, and I would love to go over that list. And this is, to me, a succinct, not necessarily a wrap-up. And ladies, please chime in as Mike is going over this list. It starts with always keep it professional. Go down that list for us, Mike.
Always keep it professional, as you mentioned. Take the emotion out of the response. We talked about waiting a day. Don't make assumptions. You always want to research. Talk to your staff before you respond. Figure out what happened.
You don't want to think that you're being bamboozled by somebody in the other city or down the road. Never assume that.
And then, you want to present the facts. As I mentioned earlier, what are your policies within the shop? You explain the work, you get a signature before you do the work beforehand. Don't apologize if you did nothing wrong. And then explain the core issues, but try to be brief and straightforward. You don't have to write 2-3 paragraphs. Just be straightforward when it comes to your response. And then provide a productive next step. If a customer, even if it's a fake review from a legitimate customer, hey, come in and we'll take care of that wheel alignment. Or, we don't do detailing, but you said your car was left a mess. We have a shop that we work with down the street. They do detailing. We'll do that on the house. We'll take care of that. So provide a productive next step.
One of the ways that we respond is, hey, please reach out to our general manager. We would love to make the situation right if it's a real situation, and it takes that conversation offline. And it's not that they can respond to your response, but it gives them an opportunity to vent somewhere else if in fact it is a real situation, which we're talking about fake ones. But
Lauren, one of the bullet points you had mentioned was taking it offline. You're right. I mean, that's the goal. But people, because they're reading it, you definitely want to respond. So that's why I say try to keep it brief and straightforward. And then contact that customer offline and then deal with it that way.
What I meant was in the review response, that initial response, hey, reach out to our general manager. His name is blank. His email is blank. Reach out to us and we can have the deeper conversation, I guess. There's an opportunity to reach out to us. Or, hey, we couldn't find you in the system. We would love to speak with you more. Please reach out to this person.
That's showing to the rest of the world a high level of proactivity. And because it's fake, you'll never hear back.
Right, absolutely.
A quick response is better than no response.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think even we're talking about opportunities, that word came up. And I think there's also huge opportunities in responding to all of your reviews versus just the bad ones. So, and what I mean by that is, for example, I just had a review yesterday and she said, I came in for an oil change. It was an amazing experience. And the inspection they sent me was crazy, incredible. So I use that as an opportunity to say, yes, thank you for that great review. And each time you visit Mighty Auto Pro, you will be provided with that 67-point vehicle inspection. Even the bad reviews and the good reviews present a lot of opportunities when responding to all.
Of the two that you mentioned, were they two of them over a course of a year or two?
I would say on the average, we get one about every 4 to 6 months, maybe two a year, three a year.
And when they come in, you just say, okay, I guess I got to spend a few minutes on this one, right?
Okay. Exactly.
I got to play with this. And if you only knew why it came in, you know? So let's kind of just do responding to great reviews. Is it critical and important that you reach out immediately to every single 5-star and or 4-star and make a comment and thank someone for it? And like you said, hey, every time you come in, you're going to get a 67-point inspection. So you're constantly, is this perpetual marketing, always be marketing?
Yes, absolutely.
100%. If you're not responding to reviews, you have missed a very great opportunity to, show your transparency online and further make the customer a believer, I guess, in your brand and their experience, and hopefully get new customers, those potential customers that are reading those responses and those reviews. You don't just want to leave them unattended to. That leaves the question in the potential customer's mind, like, what else are they leaving on the table? What other opportunities are they missing?
You're absolutely right, and I agree. Put it in deeper perspective, right? If it literally takes somebody 10 to 15 minutes to actually write a review, they have to log into their Gmail account or Yelp or whatever. They have to locate your Google My Business page. They do the star rating, and then they write the review, right? So that process will take, on average, about, say, 10 to 12 minutes. If a customer is writing this paragraph highlighting how awesome you and your staff and the experience was, why not take 2 minutes to say thank you, right? It really does speak so much volume to the people actually looking at your shop. So always respond to the bad reviews and the good reviews, without a doubt.
Well, and another thing that's important about what Mike just said is, when you respond to that review, the person that wrote it is getting your response immediately. So your customer is seeing how fast you're replying. Yeah. And the other nice thing about Google, when you get a review, as long as you have your alert set properly, I see it the minute a customer posts a review. I mean, boom. So yeah. I'm all over it.
Over here as well. I get them on my phone and I'm responding to them even on the weekends. I think that just shows that you care, that you really do care, and you're not waiting a month, 2 weeks down the road to address their rave experience.
Exactly.
So. Leanne, the last time, whatever that Rebel Bubba, whoever responded to you, came in, did you get all cranked up and lose sleep over it? Or you just said, I'll deal with it. Should you let fake reviews, if you can smell them out as fake reviews, should you let them really bother you?
Absolutely not. I mean, especially 257 reviews under my belt, I'm, pretty much autopilot. But and admittedly, at first, it takes a little bit to, dial it down and not get personally offended by it. But it's just another thing to do in the course of your business day. That's all.
So you get a great review. Do you use it as a testimonial? And will you ever post it on Facebook, or will you ever add it maybe to your website? What do you do with superlative reviews?
I think you have to tread lightly in that situation, right? If somebody's saying great things about you, like on one of the platforms, I think you have to deepen that relationship before you ask them to use it as a testimonial, right? You kind of have to earn that right to kind of use that review as, publicly.
To be honest, over here, we do not. I figure that if they're leaving it online, they're okay with sharing their experience. Many times we just leave it on Google, but now Google actually lets you share their posts or make a post out of the reviews. We do Google posts, we use them on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, not a ton. We prefer to get pictures of customers, obviously have them send a waiver, or get a video while they're in store, as opposed to just reusing the Google reviews.
Most shops have generational customers, right? So the customers that have been coming in so long, little Billy, you remember him when he was 5 and now he has his license and his own car, right? So when you deepen that relationship, I feel like, this long-term relationship, you have the right to ask for that testimony. Again, it's case by case. It's not going to happen every time. But those generational customers, they'd be willing to do that.
Absolutely.
So let's tie onto that with what Mike just said. I've got a great relationship with a customer, and unbeknownst to me, I mean, he was just in, we must have dazzled him like we have twice, three times a year, and he must have had some time, and he wrote a Google review, and you pick up the phone and you call him by his first name because you've known him for years. Hey, Bob, Thanks so much. I mean, God, I'm so happy the staff continues to do just an excellent job for you. I mean, you know, I'm so proud of my people, and thanks for letting us know. Can we use this? That's kind of what you're talking about, right, Mike? And has that ever happened to you, Leanne?
You know, honestly, we do send a thank you to all of our customers that do a Google review. It's a thank you note. And sometimes we put a little something inside of it for them, a little small gift card or whatever as a token of appreciation. But, and we have limited, like when we're doing our video testimonials, because we like video testimonials, like Lauren was talking about, you know, we'll use those in our opening or our greeting screen sometimes. So, but yeah, we definitely thank them, each and every one of them.
It's amazing, everyone, how critically important reviews, marketing, social media is to running a business today.
Lauren, you have 8 locations. I wonder how
amazing.
Easy or difficult it is to respond to all of these with 8 locations.
You know what? And we have hundreds of reviews. I'm so proud to say all of our service advisors just so see the value in it, and they're asking every customer. I mean, they're texting the actual Google My Business link to the customer while they're in our store. And honestly, we have a team. We have a marketing team that addresses all of the reviews as soon as they come in, 9 times out of 10. So yes, thank you. It takes a team. It definitely
Absolutely.
Takes a team. So. Just to your point of those video testimonials, I just remembered at the beginning of COVID here, we rolled out a contactless service program, and we're still going strong in that. But these two ladies from two separate stores just shared with the service advisor when they picked up their vehicle, contactless, that they just loved this experience. So the marketing team got together and thought up this idea of just getting their video testimonial from a Zoom interview, similar to what you and I
are
all doing right now. And it was just a innovative idea that would have never come about, I don't think, until these tough times have hit. So
that was fantastic.
We have reinvented so many different ways to accomplish the same thing as ever before. I mean, I don't believe there's a webcam available anywhere to buy or even headsets like you're wearing, Mike. It's amazing. I was reading an article about it. It says it's still going to be months before people get on board with, you know, and then it won't be too, I don't think it'll be too late. I think this, you know, a standard of new norm is a completely different way to communicate and have a relationship with customers. I so totally love this. I think we answered the questions about fake reviews, why they happen, what to do about them, and what should a response look like if you get a fake review. You've been very transparent, very kind to be here, everyone. Does anyone have a final comment before we flip the switch and let's go on with the rest of our weekend?
I have 2 extra points that I forgot to mention earlier in this conversation. It's not only about obviously responding to these fake reviews and all reviews alike, but also flag them, report them. Do your best to get them off your page, obviously, if you can. Still write that response, but if you can get rid of them, all the better. You know, it's an honest experience of your business. So try and get as many people from your team with emails to do the same. And obviously, there's strength in numbers, so...
Right. I did think of one other thing, and that was, you know, we talked about the importance of the Google reviews for attracting new business, and it's equally as important for attracting new members to your team, because anytime you're trying to get somebody on board, you know they're looking at your reviews.
I agree. You know, respond to all reviews, good and bad. You know, I often see shops with car counts of 300-400 a month, but they have 20-30 reviews. If you're not doing this or have some type of system to help you generate reviews, find one, you know, and then also refer, and when you respond, refer back to your customer satisfaction scores and like your training, you know. Lastly, keywords too. When you respond, you know, thanks for allowing us at Joe's Garage to work on your 2010 Honda Civic, you know, kind of that keyword targeting in your responses, that always helps too.
Your company does this stuff, am I right?
That's right.
That's right, Broadly. Broadly.com. Thanks for being here. Thank you so much to Lauren Anderson, Victory Auto Service, Minneapolis, Minnesota, executive assistant to her dad. Great people, great people. Leanne Best, Mighty Auto Pro, Medina, Ohio, who's going to spend a birthday weekend with Bill Hill. We all know Bill. And Mike Dela Cruz, National Sales Manager, Broadly.com. Thanks for being here.
Thank you guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate you guys.
Bye.
Appreciate you, too.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.